1 Timothy chapter 4. And Tavia already got to the point of the message today. How do you know if you're doing right? How do you know if you're giving good advice if you don't know what the Word of God says? That's the point of the message today. And she spared it. We could make it real short and just say that's the point of the message today, huh? But we won't. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, down in verse 7. Paul writes to Timothy, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and Lord, so often preaching is so easy. Some verses that state very simply that we ought to judge everything by your word, and we know that as Christians, and we don't do it. We know it's what we ought to do, and we know that there's just so many worldly influences and so many worldly attacks and so much worldly pressure that we don't always do it. And I pray, God, you'd help us just to see the seriousness of it today, how it affects our testimony, how it affects our families. More than that, that oftentimes when we pass it off as nothing too important, that actually it's sin in our lives when we don't heed your word and live by it. And Father, I pray if there's one here this morning without Christ, you work in their heart that they'd see their need. Most of all, Lord, that I just pray that the Christians, those among us that are saved, would maybe examine ourselves this morning and see if there's not some things in our lives that might be profane or old wives' fables or lies that we need to get out. And I pray you'd just speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in verse 1 of this chapter, Paul said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So Paul is warning the church right here, and the pastor of this church in probably Ephesus, that there's going to come a time when Christians, people in the church, will give heed to seducing spirits that are out to trick and fool Christians, and they'll give heed, they'll listen to doctrines of devils. It's a warning to the church about false doctrine. And he kind of takes a little farther here in the verses we read today. You know, false doctrine doesn't barrel you over. It doesn't rush in like a freight train. False doctrine and false teachings usually kind of creep in very slowly. And we allow those things to creep into our lives very slowly, and we do it because we don't use that book as a standard. And it just creeps in very, very slowly. It happens when Christians stop using God's word as the measuring stick. So I want to show you three things, and I'll do it kind of quickly if I can. Godly exercise. We all like exercise, right? We all love to sweat. We're going to go running after church today, do some miles. Godly exercise, godly profit, and godly trust. In verse 7 it says, "But refuse." So before we go too far, I want you to know what refuse means. It means we are to shun, we are to avoid, we're to have nothing to do with these things. It means to shun, it means to avoid, it means to have nothing to do with these things. And you know what it means? It means to shun and to avoid and to have nothing to do with these things. That's what refuse means. And why do I keep repeating that? Because we don't refuse the things he's going to tell us to refuse. Because they're entertaining sometimes, or they're cute sometimes, or they're really not that bad sometimes, so we allow them in. But he says, refuse, shun these things, avoid these things, have nothing to do with these things. And he says, refuse profane. That's a cool word, because you know I like to look up words. You know what that word is based on? You know what the sons of Belial, I don't know if I'm saying it right, sons of Belial are in the Bible? It's a name for the devil, the sons of the devil. This word profane here is from that word Belial. Refuse profane, refuse devilish teachings. And every time you look at the sons of Belial in the Bible, they're up to something. They're up to no good. And if you went back and looked at every verse that the word shows up in, they're known for idolatry. The sons of Belial are known for idolatry. They worship false gods. They're known for immorality. They are involved in all sorts of things, including homosexuality. They're known for greed. The sons of Belial, they worship the devil. They're known for greed. They're known for lies. They lie and they tell lies. They're known for rebellion. These are the things that the sons of Belial are known for. But refuse, profane, refuse these things. Idolatry, immorality, homosexuality, greed, lies, rebellion. And there's some of the characters in the Bible that are called sons of Belial are Nabal, who tried to steal his neighbor's vineyard and ends up dead. And no, I mean, the king was the son of Belial. He's trying to steal Nabal's vineyard. And then the sons of Eli, remember the sons of Eli stealing from the sacrifices, involved in immorality right at the gates of the tabernacle. And those that followed Jeroboam and set up the first idols in Israel, they were sons of Belial. So there's homosexuality, immorality, greed, idolatry, lies, and rebellion. And we, as Christians, oftentimes allow these things to creep in, and other devilish practices to creep in very slowly, because they're cute sometimes. They're really cute sometimes. And they're just adorable sometimes. Look with me in Deuteronomy. I won't make you hop around too much today, but Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Down in verse 10. And, you know, when I get into some of these things, this is where even people in the church start to think, that's a little overboard, some of the things you said today. That's a little wacky, some of the things you said today. Because, you know, it's just not that bad. Well, it might be that bad if God says shun it. It might be that bad if God says have nothing to do with it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, down in verse 10, says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now, we wouldn't make our sons or daughters pass through the fire. We don't have any problem with that one. We wouldn't burn our sons or daughters to a false god. Or he that useth divination, or an observer of times. That would be those that partake in their daily what do you call that thing? Horoscope. Yeah, you read your horoscope. Don't have anything to do with those things. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Uh-oh. You know what the most popular movie out today is this weekend? Isn't it cute? It's cute. It's just cute. Don't have anything to do with those things. In verse 11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer is somebody that talks with the dead, wizards, familiar spirits. My favorite TV show is Crossing Over. I love that TV show. You guys love that show? It's where that guy with the, I imitate his voice, and you guys, my kids say, you're going to end up talking like that if you keep imitating. He says, he looks up in the crowd and he says, I'm seeing a man named Al. Oh, it's a woman named Alfreda. And I'm seeing, she had a dog. Oh, it was a four-legged animal. It was a cat. And they go through all these things. And he ends up telling their future. All he did was pull information out of them and guess and ends up right. But he's talking to their dead, lost loved ones. You ever seen it? I love it. It's a great show. He's a necromancer. He claims to be a necromancer. I don't know if he really is. But it says, people think it's cute. I mean, the guy's on TV. Millions of people watch him all the time. Charmer, consulter with familiar spirits, wizard, necromancer. For all these things are an abomination unto the Lord. So God says these things are an abomination. That guy on TV claiming to talk to the dead, an abomination. Witchcraft, an abomination. You know what Harry Potter is in God's eyes? It's an abomination. But it's cute. It gets kids to read. I mean, I couldn't get my kid to read until I got him to read this demonic book, and now he reads. Isn't it wonderful? And people don't think anything of it. God says they have nothing to do with it. Shun it. It's profane. It's sons of blood. Oh, but it's cute. And it accomplishes some good. It got my daughter to read. All these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess and hearkened unto observers of times and diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And it's cute, and it's entertaining, but God says don't have anything to do with that stuff. God says it's an abomination. Get it out of your life and avoid it. Don't have anything to do with it. There's all sorts of things that the sons of Belial are involved in. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, refuse profane, refuse devilish things in your life. Get them out of your life. And there's other things. When I was a kid, I liked Greek and Roman and Norse mythology. I liked that stuff. I loved reading that stuff. As a matter of fact, I even went out and bought who's the guy that wrote the Book of Virtues? Anybody remember? I got it right in here. It's full of Greek and Roman and Norse mythology. And you know, you can get virtuous things out of those things. How about The raven brings back the sun. Y'all listen to that every January 23rd, right? The raven brings back the sun. We give the raven credit for bringing back the sun. There's all sorts of things. And, you know, people, Christians have a tendency to go to things that are demonic and saying, yeah, but you can find the gospel in there if you look hard enough. And God says, no, I don't think so. Shun these things. They're profane. Separate yourself from these things. Refuse profane, devilish things, and old wives' fables. Now, I should ask, anybody know a good old wives' fable? A good one. Come on, nobody knows a good old wives' fable? Here's a couple. Swing a ring suspended on a thread over the stomach of a pregnant woman, and you can tell, I'm not sure what it does, you can tell the sex of the child. You heard that one, I don't care. Huh? If it spins, it's a girl, and if it swings back and forth, it's a boy. Did you guys know that? Did you try that? Did it work? Don't tell me if you did. How about this? You probably tried this one, Robbie. A pregnant woman spitting in Ajax. If it turns one color, it's a boy. If it turns another color, it's a girl. Or it might mean you were drinking some Kool-Aid or something with different flavors. You didn't try that one? Old wives' fables.
That can't be that old.
Well, Ajax is older than me. We had Ajax when I was a kid. So those are old wives' fables, though. God says refuse profane, devilish things, and old wives' fables. So we have to look at our lives and we have to say, you know, what in my life violates the Word of God? What do I take maybe as entertaining because it's not that bad? I'll give you an example that I did a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you right now. Serena had the good sense. You're going to think I'm wacky when I tell you this. She had the good sense not to get the Haunted Mansion. The movie. Now, you may have seen it. I don't know. She had the good sense not to do it. It's all about ghosts and necromancy and things like that. And it's a cute movie. It's a Disney movie. And, you know, there's nothing terrible about it, except God says I have nothing to do with that stuff. She had the good sense not to get it. She came home and said, it had to do with ghosts and stuff like that, and I didn't want to bring it home. Guess who brought it home? Thank you very much. And we watched it. It was a stupid movie. And I kept saying to the kids, now, don't believe in ghosts. You know, but that wasn't the point. They don't really believe in ghosts. The point was I brought that into my home. But it's just a simple, silly Disney movie. But it has to do with devilish stuff and witchcraft and necromancy. And God says, shun it. It's profane. Have nothing to do with it. So I brought it home, and the kids had the good sense not to. Now, there's other times when they don't have that good sense. You know, if I was to say, what's the one with the witch in the... Is it Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, don't do Cinderella.
Is it Cinderella?
Oh,
God.
I love that movie.
This is where people really think I'm wacky. It's where people really think I'm wacky. And I did a whole thing on Disney movies one time and how much witchcraft is involved in them. And somebody came up to me and said, well, what am I supposed to show my family then? I don't know. Nemo. The talking fish. There's got to be something in here about talking fish. I don't know, but I know what we're not supposed to show our family. We're supposed to show our family godly things, and there's probably cute things, but, you know, that's got to do with witchcraft, bed knobs and broomsticks. Bewitched. Bewitched. You know the words of that song? Bewitched, 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 bewitched. You didn't know those were the words of that song. Shun those things, rebellion and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We're supposed to put those things away, and we're supposed to love the things. Godliness is loving what God loves. That's what it is. Loving what God loves. I'll tell you what. When we sit and watch Haunted Mansion, God is not sitting in heaven thinking it's cute. I know He's not. As a matter of fact, He's sitting there thinking, why that dumb guy, he's going to get up and preach Sunday, and he's going to admit that he's the one that brought it home. He brought that abomination into his house. When his kids had the good sense not to do it, he brought it into his house. That fool. God wasn't happy. He didn't think it was entertainment. He didn't think it was cute. He thought it was an abomination because that's what he said. He thinks of that stuff. He says, have nothing to do with it. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Love what God loves. Shun man's stories, shun man's fables, man's ways, cling to God's word as a standard. And that's a great example. God's word is the standard. I said, well, it's just not that bad. And I went off and used my own standard or a human standard. And God's word says don't have anything to do with it. It's an abomination. But it's not that bad. It's rated PG. And, you know, PG means pretty godly. It's not bad. Godly exercise. What kind of things are we supposed to exercise ourselves unto? We're supposed to love the things that God loves. I'm going to give you six things real quickly. Matthew 22:37, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and with all thy mind. We're supposed to love God first. That's godliness. That's exercising yourself unto godliness, loving God. Number two, Psalm 5. But let all those that have put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. We're supposed to love God's name. We're supposed to love God first. We're supposed to love His name. And God has revealed Himself through different names. He revealed Himself to Abraham as God Almighty. He revealed Himself to Moses as Jehovah. And I like that song, Jesus. I never heard that song. I never sang that song, that Jesus song we were singing this morning. That's God's name. We're supposed to love God's name and treat it with reverence. Number three, in Psalm 40, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let all such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. We're supposed to love God's salvation. You ever just sit back? Let me get to the third verse of It Is Well. Man, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. I don't know about you guys, but it's a spiritual experience for me when I sit there and start thinking about my sin and what God has done for me. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so thankful for God's salvation. I love God's salvation. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Psalm 119, verse 119 says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. We're supposed to love God's testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. We're supposed to love God's commandments. By the way, we're reading one of God's commandments, shun profane, and old wives' fables. And he says at the end here, it's a command. We're supposed to love these commands. Yeah, but it's not that bad. It's entertaining. It's pretty good. I have fun doing it. We're supposed to love God's commands. Also in Psalm 119, it says we're supposed to love God's precepts. We're supposed to love God's law. And then Matthew 22, verse 39 says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So those are things we're told to love. That's godliness. Loving what God loves. Hating what God hates. That's godliness. Godly exercise is putting into practice those things God tells us to love. Loving Him, loving His name, loving salvation, loving His testimonies, precepts, laws, commandments, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's godly exercise. Then we see in verse 8, godly profit. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, my wife and I were up at about 11 o'clock last night. Was it 11 o'clock? Everybody was laughing at it. The kids came through, laughed at us, and Serena laughed at us, and the kids were laughing at us because we were up doing Tai Bo at 11 o'clock last night. I like exercise. I like Tai Bo. I like kicking things. It's fun. I've always liked kicking things. Exercise is good. If you watched me yesterday, I went out and tried to run around town. I thought, I'm going to try running on the boardwalk. Don't try running on the boardwalk yet. There's some spots where there's a lot of snow still out there on the boardwalk, and there's some icy spots where if you put your weight on it, you're going to go through, and we used to call them soakers when I was a kid. I imucked, right? Don't go on the boardwalk yet. It's too early. But I believe in exercise. Godly exercise profits. Bodily exercise profits. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. This is the temple of God. You're supposed to take care of it. But it only profits a little. So we encourage you to get involved in some exercise. We could all go to the gym after we're done eating cake this afternoon, play some basketball, run around a little bit. I'd encourage you to do that. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Back at the list that we said, this is godliness. Godliness is loving what God loves. Loving God. Loving His salvation, loving His name, loving His law, precepts, commands, loving your neighbor as yourself. Godliness, loving those things, is profitable into all things. Every area of your life. You think about every area of your life. If you put that love of God into practice in every area of your life, it is profitable. It is useful is what the word profit means there. People ask me, is that talking about money? No, it's useful. Meat for use. Has a purpose. Godliness is profitable unto all things, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Godliness will profit you in every area of your life, on your job, with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends. Whatever you're doing, godliness will be useful to you. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And the truth is, when we set aside godliness for the haunted mansion, when we set aside, which I had to do, by the way, that's what we don't think about. I had to set aside godliness to sit and watch the haunted mansion. I had to. God doesn't like that stuff. I wanted to sit and watch it. I had to say, God, for the next hour and a half, I'm not going to love what you love. I want to be entertained by this devilish stuff. I'll be back in an hour and a half. I'll love you then. We do that in areas of our life all the time. We set our love for God aside, and it's called sin when we set our love for God aside, by the way. Hey, you mean watching Haunted Mansion was sin? Yes. For me, it was sin. Now that I've figured this out, I'm figuring some things out in my old age. You have to set your love for God aside. In verse 9, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. It is faithful because it's faithful to God's word. And as Tavia said before, this ought to be our standard. How do you give advice without having a standard? This ought to be our standard. This ought to be our standard for what movie are you going to watch? Whew. We got another pretty godly movie the other night, didn't we? It was PG. We watched, we had to take it out after 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes of, but it was rated PG. That was just 5 minutes. How much can you put up with? Hollywood standards aren't God's. God doesn't rate things PG. PG-13, R, or NC-17 is at the highest one. And God doesn't rate things that way. God has his standards. And you know what? I don't know how you figure these things out for your family. How do you figure it out? I guess if you're the head of the family, you have to go check it out before you let your family watch it. Or go check it out before you let your family read it. Because how do you know? Well, I'm letting my kids go to the PG movie. And they come home with all sorts of wild ideas. We ought to use God's word as our standard. And people really think I'm wacky when I get on this stuff. They may say I'm wacky when I get on Harry Potter or what's the other devilish stuff? I always thought it was devilish anyways. The most popular movies in the country the last 3 years. The sorcerer things. Yeah, those things. Not only are they boring, the books were boring, the movies were boring, but made all sorts of money, and they're devilish on top of that. But people subject their so well, there's a Christian message in Lord of the Rings, don't you know? You've heard that, haven't you? They sell those in Christian bookstores, and Christian CBD sells Lord of the Rings. I don't know why. So people get mad, but I'll tell you what. You can get mad and say I'm wacky and, you know, Haunted Mansion's not that bad, Harry Potter's not that bad, but you will not give me a biblical defense for that position. You won't go to the Bible and say, the Bible says right here that Harry Potter's not that bad. It's good because it gets kids to read. And The Lord of the Rings, it's not that bad. It's good. There were good books. And you won't go to the Bible and get that defense. You may say, you know, go by your feelings. I feel. You may say, I think. You may say, but you're not going to go to the Bible and say, God's word says Harry Potter's okay. Look up every verse on witchcraft and tell me God's word says it's okay. Shun. Abomination. Ain't going to tell me it's okay. Necromancy. Haunted mansion. You're not going to tell me it's okay using God's word to do that. Godly profit. Godly exercise profits in all things. And then finally, godly trust. In verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. And I'll tell you what, we're supposed to labor in the Word of God, using the Word of God as our standard. But we also, if you do this, you're going to suffer reproach. People are going to think you're a little nutty. If you go home, you know, I always wanted to do this, and I'm running out of time. I always wanted to have a book burning. Just because people think that's really crazy. You know, they're burning books. What's going to happen next? I always wanted to have a book burning. Just go, everybody go home, go through your house, and bring all the junk you shouldn't have there, and we'll do it out in the parking lot. We'll get the fire department, we'll notify them, and we'll burn it all. Maybe we'll, and people, you know what people are going to say? Man, they've gone over the edge down there. They're burning books. They really lost it down there. Every nut in town must go to that place. I know it's not every nut, because I know some nuts that aren't here. But but wouldn't that be cool? You know what I did with all my records? You remember records? You guys that are young don't remember. We had records when we were kids. They were about this big, and they went at 33 revolutions, 33 and a third revolutions per minute. And I had about 400 of them when I got saved. And I started the barbecue. I did. It took me a long time to burn 400. I didn't even get them all burnt. But you could have taken them to a record store. Then somebody else would profit from my demonic choices in music in the past. Well, you could have just... But I broke them up. I burned them. I got rid of them all. Except one. Right? And even that one's gone now.
The tongues one?
The tongues one.
In the God of the Vita,
baby. I thought that would be profitable once I got into Christianity when I heard what was going on. You know? In the God of the Vita, baby. I have now spoken in tongues. Therefore, we both labor. But if we did have a book burning, I mean, by the way, it's coming up on July 4th. If you want to suffer some reproach, I'm going to offer it this year. It's my last chance. The annual July 4th ocean baptism is coming. Pray for the ice. And I'm not looking. I don't know everybody's situation, but I want to offer it. I'll be in the dry suit as usual. And if you want to get, but you know, people look at us. What are they doing out there? They got to be crazy. You go out and burn them. You go home and you tell your family. I got rid of all my Disney movies, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Cinderella. I got rid of them all. Why? Because there's witches in them. Good. You people have gone over the edge. Yeah, we believe God's word. God's word says it's an abomination. You've gone over the edge. You will suffer some reproach. People will think you're a narrow-minded nut. And even some people, when I'm, you know, there may be somebody here who's thinking, Harry Potter, Disney movies, can he get on something else? I could. But I'm just pointing out that we all ought to take stock. What's in our home? What's in our life? And God says, shun the profane. Shun the old wives' fables. Get them out of your life. Have nothing to do with them. Don't have anything to do with the devilish stuff. It's not cute to God. It's not entertaining. It's an abomination. By the way, you can find plenty of things that are fun and entertaining and godly to do. You do not have to subject yourself to devilish teachings to have fun. It's like going back and saying, well, I have to drink or get stoned to have fun. Why? Why do you have to watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks to have fun? And by the way, where is the word fun in the Bible? It's not in there. They were having fun in the wilderness. In verse 10, for therefore we both labor, we labor in the word of God, we suffer reproach. Paul was willing to stand up and separate himself from these things, and he suffered some reproach for it, because we trust in the living God. By the way, when you subject yourself to these things, you set your trust of God aside. You say, God, right now I'm not going to trust you because I really want to see Eddie Murphy deal with these ghosts. You set your love for God aside. You set your trust for God aside. I know some of you think I'm nuts. It's okay. Trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. God is the Savior of all men. And He's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially of those that believe. And that means God died, Jesus Christ died to save all men, but you're saved when you believe, especially of those that believe. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He left each of us with a choice. Will you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you? When you do that, you are saved. Why don't people believe the gospel? Why don't people believe the Word of God? When you go to somebody and say, you know, Jesus died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. If you repent of your sin and put your faith in Him, He'll give you eternal life. God will give you eternal life. You'll go to heaven when you die. Why don't people believe that? They don't want to give up. They don't want to give it up. And they have to set that aside. They have to say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's just not true. It was written by man. How many of you heard? Oh, some men wrote it. How do you know it hasn't been taken down through the years? Oh, well, how did they preserve it? I've heard them. You've heard them. They have to set that thing aside. They don't want to give up their sin. And that's why repentance is giving up the sin. And faith is believing what it says. And people don't want to do those things. They don't want to repent of the sin. They don't want to believe what the Word of God says. In verse 11, Paul's admonition to Timothy, the young pastor, is these things command and teach. The commandment and the teaching is shun these things. Shun the devilish teachings. Get them out of your life. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. It's not cute. It's an abomination in God's eyes. Get them out of your life. Shun the profane. Shun the old wives' fables. And notice that it's a command. It's a command. There's more than 10 commandments in the Word of God. Shun profane. Shun old wives' fables. And again, is watching Harry Potter sin? For me it is, because now I believe it's wrong. And hopefully you do too. What a fire we could have if we could have all the Harry Potter books that have been sold over the last 100 years or however many years they've been selling them. Could have a great fire. As a Christian, God's Word is supposed to be our standard for life. See, I told you I'd get to the point that Tavia made right at the start. God's Word is the standard for our life. Or it's not. It either is or it isn't. If it is, we have to look at our life, look at our home, look at our the way we do, the things we do, and ask ourselves, well, are there things here that violate God's Word? And if we find things that violate God's Word, we either choose them or we choose our love for God. I love them or I love God. It can't be both. It's one or the other. Godly exercise. Loving what God loves. Loving the Lord, loving His name, loving His salvation, loving His testimonies, His commandments, His precepts, His laws, loving our neighbor. Godly exercise. It is profitable in all things in this life, in every area of life, and it's profitable in the next life. And godly trust. And you have to have godly trust to do these things because the world's going to think you're a nut. If you try, by the way, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why don't we suffer persecution? Because we choose not to exercise godliness. We choose to get along. I'm not saying go out and start a fight. I'm saying we choose to get along. We choose to go to a haunted mansion. We choose to read Harry Potter. We choose. It's not that bad. It's entertaining. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Godly exercise is profitable in all things. Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and I just pray that you'd help me examine my own life and see what I put before you. Oftentimes it's the things that we think are entertaining or fun or not too bad. We even can find some good things to say about things that you say are abominations. God, I pray your forgiveness for the things I've allowed in my life, in my home. I pray that you'd help each of us to just take some time. And we're not talking about murder today. We're not talking about grave idolatry or adultery. We're not talking about what the world would consider serious.